Triple M Around the Nation with, yes, our slowly recovering host, Tony Martin. Big Cavalier, he's coming down this subject. Pushing the buttons, not at all well. It's Richard Marsland.
Working for a community meeting like a tonight show host.
That's right. Please welcome Ed Cavalier and the Triple M Orchestra. Stop big noting yourself, Rich. What's going on? I'm almost better now. Everyone else, including our producer, Nikki, coming down with something. Is it our office? Is it the air conditioning in our office, do you think?
You describe the conditions as
Singapore Airport.
Now, I'm going to change that.
That's where we work.
To be the food court at Singapore Airport. A little bit hotter. A little bit more Nazi goring.
All right.
Unbelievable.
We're going to forge on. It's not going to stop us.
It's so hot in there. It's like working one of those things they make jockeys sit in to lose weight.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're wasting away over here.
Someone comes in and bashes at the roof with a wrench for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're all wearing 5 coats and a scarf each. I don't know what is going on down there.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Like a petri dish. Blue-green algae is growing on my keyboard and in my computer. The conditions are so muggy.
We won't be stopped, though. I'm still staying up late taping episodes of Police 10-7.
Good on you, Tone.
People have been complaining we haven't had enough drunks from across the Tasman on the show.
Up in the street.
Yeah, are
they?
The enthusiasts. Well, you know, you learn a lot of stuff watching that show.
Yep.
This is on the Crime Investigation Network on Foxtel. Mm-hmm. And I've learned, you know, when the cops pull you over mm-hmm. for something, when you've been fleeing from them, mm-hmm. work out your story in advance.
Okay, good.
Listen to what this bloke says.
Down a side street, Harley and Solomon catch up with the driver of the fleeing car.
I've been practicing all day. I've been practicing all day. Oh, I wouldn't say all day. At least,
Okay, keep in mind, it's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
He's been there either all day or 30 minutes.
No, excuse me. Now, when you say fleeing...
Yeah, keep in mind, we've just seen him pull over and start on the curb.
There's a bit of information that's not helping him. Did he try and look relaxed when they got there? Did he try and, like... Did he stand up and have a newspaper over his head pretending he was asleep?
And he's got a tracksuit on. He's got a tracksuit on and he's calling for his lawyer. He's on the front foot immediately.
When you pulled up, I was parked.
Excuse me, when we first saw you, okay, this is my lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we might be calling him, yeah.
Call him now.
No, just
call my lawyer now. No, call my lawyer. Yeah, I know you're the police. Sorry, call my lawyer now.
Can I just speak?
No, you can't.
Okay.
You can't, unless you're arresting me.
We saw you just pull out of Freilanders Road.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. I've been parked there for at least 30 seconds.
Oh, yes. Well, we've been trying to...
At least 30 seconds.
We've been, well, we've been
so
trying
how long
to...
Have listen you to me.
Listen to me. We've been trying to catch up to you for about the last minute.
It's just angled across the nature strip. Hang on, it was all day.
Mm-hmm.
That was 30 minutes now. It's at least 30 seconds.
40, probably 40, probably 45. Call my lawyer. He's asleep in a ditch over there. Call out and wake up.
The action continues.
I now require you to undergo a breath screening test without delay, all right?
Yes.
Because okay, I've got good reason.
But I haven't been driving, officer.
Right.
But I haven't been driving.
Listen to me. I need you to steal your lips around
I've
here.
I've been sitting there
blow one
for
there.
The last,
okay.
I don't know how many hours,
you just said,
drinking alcohol.
You just said 30 seconds before, okay? Okay, just blow one for there, okay?
It's up,
all right?
No.
Drinking alcohol. That's going to help.
I need an excuse. I've been doing ice. No. Selling heroin. No. Shooting people. No. Drinking.
That's the
drinking.
So he refuses a breath test and then it turns ugly.
Because you're refusing me, I now require you to accompany me to the Manurah Police Station or any such place for the purpose of the evidential breath test, blood test, or both. Do you understand?
Yes.
You do
and
understand?
My lawyer has to be present.
We will win.
My lawyer has to be present.
Over here, talk to me.
The cop just touches him on the sleeve.
Assault! Assault! You touched me, officer. Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry. Why not a how come at the end there? I've worked it out from watching hours and hours of Police 10-7. There's 4 stages you go through when you get picked up by the cops in New Zealand. First up, well, what are you saying? I wasn't there.
Denial.
Nothing to do with it. Then there's claiming that someone else who's nowhere to be seen is involved. He was just here a minute ago, officer.
You should have seen him. He's a wreck.
Then there's threatening them with legal action. I want your badge name. You are going to be sued. And then there's finally the racism card. You are racist.
Ah, yes. Good old racist card.
Remember those four rules that you pulled over.
I love the classic interrogation technique of polite cop and very polite cop.
Oh, God. All right, that's enough drunken Kiwis for one show. Let's get back to business as per usual.
Thank you.
Next, don't get this. There it is again, our favourite song.
Rob Thomas. Goodness, Rob Thomas is telling us how he feels.
That's his tribute to the 80s show Small Wonder, which one of our listeners drew our attention to yesterday here on Get This on Triple M, where later Talkback Mountain's coming up. And today, you could win a trip to the country of...
Bolivia, is it? Bolivia.
Not Bolivia. One of that clip.
Yeah, it was.
That's one for the false book.
Oh, right in there.
Oh, watch this, Richard Marvin. Kay's out on the technical department live on the show.
How many syllables did we lose?
No, listen, it was fantastic because last week we had the same problem. They fixed it by putting a sticker on it saying spare.
Sorted.
Only used in case of emergency.
This is the original panel. In fact, I think you've got something in the computer that describes this panel that we use on the show.
Rusted by a bad wreck. The wheel well full of water, it leaks like a sieve.
Yeah.
And some panels are not even metal.
I'm having trouble finding metal. So what's under there if it's not metal?
Well, the majority of this panel is just filler.
Air conditioning hoses flapping loose, wiring exposed, and other loose hoses make it a major fire hazard.
These are the conditions we work in.
Loose hoses. You ever tried to work with loose hoses everywhere? It's a bit of an insult to the guy riding the penny farthing that's powering it, though. Sorry, sir. I mean, his wax moustache.
That's enough about Lee Simon. You know, a lot of news stories we haven't got to.
No, Tom, we've been very slack on the news of the world last few days, talking obscure television and the like. What have you found there, Mr. Martin?
Oh, it's not a story about obscure television, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear.
Big news. Chip Star never passed his bike test. TV biker cop Eric Estrada has revealed he never passed his motorcycle test. He played Highway Patrol Officer Ponch in the 70s hit series Chips, and he never once had a motorcycle license for real. How's that? Starkey couldn't parallel park to save himself, apparently, even watching the reflection in the shop window. The captain of the Love Boat knew nothing about driving a boat or love, it turns out. Quincy wouldn't recognise a dead body if it fell out of a cupboard.
That's unbelievable.
Then he'd probably faint. Like those blokes in the titles. Remember them. And, although, I should say, Henry the Fonz Winkler admits he has spent a lot of time hanging around in men's toilets talking to himself.
Absolutely right.
So that was accurate.
You're going to try and tell me now that Adam West, the TV's Batman, didn't like hanging out with youthful younger lads?
No, his youthful ward, Dick Grayson.
What's a ward?
I don't know.
Can I get a ward in?
I'm sure you could get a ward. Just apply. What about, are they still running that in the morning?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
This is great, because I grew up with that man, Adam West.
Was it funny, though, when you were growing up?
It was exciting when you were 8. It was hilarious when you were 15. It was the show that just kept on giving.
Yeah.
And you're just seeing it for the first time?
No, I get up early every morning just so I can watch it. And this morning,
is that Riddler tone? Riddler's he's a bad egg, for sure, isn't
he? This morning, he was trying to get some artifacts, which we never actually saw, by having some sort of wax thing, and then he had Batman over a tub of wax.
Yeah.
But then Batman somehow got his belt buckle to explode a barrel. But the explosion, for some reason, the explosion, all it managed to do was to throw them clear of the barrel. But then they were perfectly fine. Not a scratch on them. Not a scratch on them.
No way.
And Commissioner Gordon still can't wrap his head around just what good guys they are. Every time they solve a crime, it's straight down the barrel.
Such fine men. Men of such fineness that just...
There's other business, Commissioner. Shut up, I'm not finished.
Oh, they're fine, good, gentle men. Quality is rare in that shag. Very rare. In school, we interviewed Adam West and Bert Ward.
Brilliant.
And we said, those things in the Commissioner's office, surely you were pissing yourself. The elaborate walking in front of each other choreography. And he said that Adam West, Burt Ward, and Chief O'Hara...
Is he really Irish, Chief O'Hara?
I'm not sure. He was crusty.
Because his accents are pretty tough and demoinant.
He's very tough and demoinant, Chief. But the three of them were just pissing themselves. Constantly pissing themselves. Commissioner Gordon thought it was Shakespeare. And he's the best.
He's the
Man, Commissioner Gordon is a genius, whoever that bloke was.
Look, it's on your Foxtel Classics, 8 o'clock in the morning.
But that's on Classics Plus 2, so yeah, I think on the original Classics it airs at 6. Well, and then
get up, people. Get up in the morning.
Yeah. Well, at least we got on to recent news.
Oh, yeah. What was that story you were going to do?
Oh, yeah. What have you been flagging for the last 2 weeks?
I've been waving the flag for this.
Yeah.
1,200-pound Mexican glad to be the world's fattest man.
Yeah, that's right. The Man Mountain.
560 kilograms, listed as the world's fattest man, officially in the Guinness Book of Records. I'm glad to be in the book as the world's fattest man.
He's Mr. Morbidly Obese 5 years running.
Isn't that beautiful? Start to get a sash around him. With the 41-year-old. He was quoted saying, I didn't think I was going to make it. I was a slender 340 kilograms for a while, and I heard there was a gentleman in Bulgaria that was really packing it on. Then I started injecting moose, and it got me where I am today.
Moose injection, please.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of this. I was cutting up a podcast where you were talking about how they clean that bloke.
Oh, yeah.
And doing that now, which is like throwing up as we're editing the footage, going, do we really want to preserve this on the internet forever?
I've got a new theory.
Yep.
They dress a child in Terry Talon, right?
Yep.
From head to toe, a small child, or a primordial dwarf. Then they soak him in cleaning fluid, and he swims through the layers of the big man. He kind of shimmies through like he's trying to escape from a POW camp, like the Great Escape style.
That's fantastic. Now I really am feeling ill. I apologise to anyone, but I'm just about to tuck into the morning tea. Have we got some John Howard exclusive? That'll be next. I'll get this. Get this around the nation on Triple M. Where would we be without our sponsors? The Nissan Navara, the 4x4 with a huge pulling power. I think you know about the rugged good looks.
What about that mystery snorkel?
Oh, we sorted that out.
Yeah, we did.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, they know more.
They drive around a fat guy. While he's in the bath, that's why you need a snorkel.
Yeah, right. That's right.
It can drag the fat guy as far as you like.
Fat guy.
Yeah, we should point out, it's not just like a fat guy. We're not just making fun of a fat guy.
A fat desk guy.
This is like a mountain with a tiny head on the top.
Yeah, a man who's eaten so much that he's created a third leg for himself, but not in the traditional sense.
Yeah, well, where does the leg end and the testicle begin?
That's a real...
Okay, let's clean up this show with a message from Bronwyn Robson, one of our listeners. She's a nurse.
See, Rob?
She has discovered the clandestine pleasure of hiding headphones under her hair at work, at the hospital, and listening to the show. You wouldn't believe the foul things I do with you guys in the background. Isn't that a lovely message?
Well, send this in a description.
No, I think we've got to clean this show up.
No, please, B-Rob, if you're listening while you're doing stuff, can you send us in a description of the stuff that you do while you're listening to our show? I'd love to hear that.
That'll be a segment tomorrow. Here's some news that'll interest you. A Polish priest has started a row here after opening a nationwide chain of cafe bars and promising to employ only sexy waitress
legend. I mean, terrible, but...
Father Heinrich Janowski, a priest who played a prominent role in the Solidarity movement, said, ugly women need not bother to apply to become waitresses at my cafes.
In the Bible.
He dismissed critics by saying it was all for charity.
So true.
Get away with anything if it's charity.
Anything?
Well, maybe not anything.
Yeah.
Maybe not... reading out that letter. I think we should move on from Mr. Morbidly Obese 2007. Why don't local priests become that interesting? Why can't we have Archbishop George Pell's top-heavy tabernacle?
Oh, that's a good idea.
The chain.
That'll get the kids back in.
A Buddhist-style restaurant.
Yeah.
Get people back into the church. Working in Poland. Love that.
Hell.
What other news have we got? Have we had anything on John Howard? No, he's tripped over, I think.
Yeah.
How is that news, really? People trip over every day.
Yeah. That's true, no?
He picked himself up very well.
Oh, he bounces. He's sprightly.
Moved right on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kept on a leg.
I would have loved a forward roll. I tripped straight into a forward roll and then into a high kick. And I'm like, yeah.
Why couldn't he have done what I was doing? Make it look intentional. I meant to trip there.
And then look up. The trick is to look up and start laughing before other people start pointing and laughing. Who's with me? Who's with me?
But aren't you blowing through that book about John Howard at the moment?
Well, I just finished Food Kill Channel 9.
And we discovered that it was Stefan Ovakin, the Today Show with a candlestick.
Oh, really?
That's the result of that.
Boom.
That's the way to the last page. Sure. Boom, boom. The new book is John Winston Howard. It's this new book.
Yeah.
And there's some, they're just gleaning lots of facts as people, as a journalist, plow through some of the information.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a few things he didn't know about John Howard.
Really?
He keeps his cricket bat in a corner of his study at Kirribilli House.
Does he?
Including the bat his mother gave him on his 21st his birthday.
Wow.
These are all true. Mm. Won 100 bars of soap as a prize in a 1955 radio quiz show.
I've heard that tape.
A very early version of Talkback Mountain, a very early version of Battle of the Sexes.
Well, I said, what's the weirdest place you've had sex? The upper house.
Yeah. he learned to lip read because he had poor hearing.
Oh, no.
He does wear a hearing aid.
That's true.
Some information also about his YouTube video.
Mm.
And apparently it's out of sync. If you're watching it on the net, it is out of sync. You know that happens occasionally
YouTube
videos. So just be careful because the lips are moving, but the audio, the essence of the speech is about 9 years late.
Oh, yeah.
So you can press
play. Yeah. 9 years out of sync, you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. Your mum's your dad. That's his favourite insult, Parliament.
When Jeanette was in labour with their third child, John Howard refused to go over the speed limit in the car.
Right.
He wouldn't go over the speed, and then he missed the birth because when they got to the hospital, he was trying to find a legal park.
Yes.
Didn't have good parking.
No.
Hospital was hard to find it. But apparently he was in such a hurry, this is true, he had to let his kids out first, and then Jeanette, and then trying to find a legal park. That's why he missed the birth. It's his own children overboard scandal.
Oh, my God.
He tossed the kids out himself.
That's because they fire on him. Come election time. That's why he was so big on it.
Yeah, but they'll frame him out of the footage and just have the kids standing next to the hospital. There you go.
He's a big fan of John Howard. Cecilia on the phone. Works on this show. Have you got that clip of her meeting the Prime Minister yesterday?
I love you. You're so cute. I love you.
Yeah.
I love your hair. You're beautiful.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you're gorgeous and lovely.
You're very charitable.
You're very charitable.
Who was that, really?
You can be claimed on tax. That was someone from Big Brother. A desperate boy.
Really was.
Has he gone into the house? Fantastic.
Oh, that'll be good. Shake things up a bit. Yeah. He'll be the edgy one.
Oh, man.
You should do that. John Howard in the Big Brother house. Are people sick of that, though? I think people are sick of Big Brother.
The show's gone. Surely this is the last series.
Taxi drivers tell me there's just not enough quality tale.
And it's right. They are right.
Yes.
They are right.
I feel a bit sorry for the contestants now because they think they're in the house. They think it's massive.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're getting out. Here I am, world. Just with the sound of crickets. No one's watching.
Who are you again?
Bus station.
Just with a bus ticket.
Okay, enough about this gear. What about the listeners? You know what they're going to talk about today?
Oh, yeah. Overbearing parents.
Is this something from your life, Vic Cavalier?
Yeah, but I'm going to pretend. I'm going to tell a story and pretend it was someone else.
Of course you are. That'll be next.
Can be described as a disgrace.
The Nation on Triple M, where the podcasts keep on coming.
What are we up to, son?
107 has gone up there late last night. It's got, some water cooler talk.
Oh, yeah, that's
breast news.
Oh, man.
It was classic.
Medical breast news.
Mexican Man Mountain update. You can fast forward past that if you wanted. Nish is in there, the rubber duck invasion. Who's a dodgy blonde guy? Well, magical moments from the past, from a few days ago.
We're almost up to date, huh?
Yeah, we're catching up slowly. Yeah. But a lot of people saying it was something we repeated on the show from last year when John Howard was 1 cent.
As a rapper.
Doing his rapping.
Yeah.
If you want to know what podcast that was on, you have to go all the way back to podcast 23.
Those are different times, weren't they?
From August last year. And then there was a sequel to that, 1 cent Slight Return. That's in podcast 38.
Wow.
And I think both of those sketches are to be found also as part of our prior offences on the all-new Triple M website.
TripleM.com.au.
Oh, there's a lot there. I hope you've written all that down. Oh, and people asking, will there be a Noble cast? Ross,
yesterday.
Yes. I'm hoping to have one up by the weekend.
Great.
It's great. It was full on.
The best.
We got into a lot of trouble. The show ran over. People not very happy with us.
Can't help that, so.
But nonetheless, it's all part of the philosophy here at the station. I mean, you never know what you'll hear next.
Oh, somebody's stopping us.
Nearly nothing left to lose here at Get This on Triple M around the nation. I'm just going to leave a gap so that Adelaide can cut this next line out. Santo Chilaro joining us in the next hour.
Mm.
There you go, they can get in there.
Santo Chilaro in the next hour.
I shouldn't have said that bit.
Bad luck.
I'm going to have to cut that out now.
Yeah, and that.
Shane's not going to be happy.
Bad luck, Shane.
But thank God you're here is on tonight.
7:30.
Let's join up. I shouldn't have said that now.
Whoopsies.
Okay, I'll say it again.
Thank God your hair's on tonight.
You don't say.
And apparently, I'm in there.
Who else with you? Tim.
Oh, I can't remember. Sean McCullough. Mm-hmm. Eddie East, American comedian, very funny man. Julian Morris is in there. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember anything that happened.
No, you never did.
It could be a disaster.
I'm sure it wasn't a disaster.
You've seen it?
Never. I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything.
A nightmare, that show. I think there should be some funny bits. Possibly not for the right reasons. Not for intentional reasons.
You're always doing great,
Josh. Oh, we'll find out.
You're always great.
Okay, that's tonight, 7:30 on your Channel 10. But okay. Hey, we've had a request. We often get requests here for new Talkback Mountain themes. This is from Hugh Machube.
I mean, at least pretend that you're putting in a real name.
Should be playing Shepherd with Shield, but that kind of...
Machube. That's right. He's from Footscray, Victoria. He wants us to whip something up to the tune of... Heart, All I Want to Do. The power balance necessarily right for Talkback Mountain.
Absolutely. We're soaring the heights. We're plunging the emotional depths.
We're up there now.
Because all I knew you were, I didn't know their 70s earlier gear when I was a kid, like Barracuda and Magic Man and stuff.
Yeah.
All I knew was their stuff like that. All I want to do is make love to you. And I always got that confused with Starship. Nothing's going to stop us now.
That sounds
very
similar.
They do sound like
songs.
No,
okay,
fair enough.
The theme from Mannequin.
Mannequin, yeah.
What was the theme from Mannequin on the Move, the sequel?
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. That'll be a stumper.
Yeah, I don't know. Either.
It wasn't a theme. I still know it's going to come to this. Why bother?
Loggins is involved somewhere, you know it.
He'd be in there. Today, we're talking overbearing parents. Now, we've certainly, at least two of us in this room have those.
We have had in the past, yes.
And their parents.
Yeah, we also could have done absent parents. That would have been...
parents. We could have filled every category. Why are we doing this today, Ed?
Two reasons. Firstly, someone came over to our dude ranch last night and told us a story about how his mother had gone into his room. Looked through every book that he had. Now, he was a bit of a bookworm, and he was at university, so he had shelves and shelves of books, Rich. Mm. Gone through every single page of every single book, found his pornography, and laid them out on his bed in a fan.
Oh.
And never said a word about it.
Gosh! The full forensic search!
Yeah.
Dash.
Yep, and left everything as if it hadn't been touched.
Yeah.
As if the pornography had wriggled free and assembled itself on the bed in a fan of shame.
Mind you, fan of shame. Mind you, fan pornography, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a good look. So loving.
Wow.
Mm. How old is this guy?
He's 24. 23.
His mum's still running the search.
Yeah. So when I was a youngster, I like to go and grab things, put them in my mouth and such. Lollies and batteries, etc.
Yeah,
but I had to wear the harness.
Oh, not the harness, not the bungee rope.
Yeah, and my mum got so deaf with the harness that I'd be walking towards, a Milky Bar Crackle or a Mars bar, and I'd be like, I reckon I've made it. And I would put my hand out, and like there was a force field 1 centimeter around the Mars bar, she got so good, she could just hold me just to my fingernails, could touch the nougat goodness, I couldn't get a grab on it.
Actually, Nikki Hamilton's buying one of those for this show.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Keep me away from her snacks.
Now, what is the harness attached to? What's the outfit of the harness? Are you talking...
Brace. Over the top of a sailor suit. I had to wear a brace.
Well, see, we didn't have the sailor suit, but I'm sure I was sent to school dressed as Little Lord Fauntleroy at one point. That's just a one-way trip to the toilet. That one.
The only other example I bring up here, because I just thought of it. I lived in a share house in Sydney where one of my flatmate's fathers was convinced that everywhere we lived was an absolute... pedestrian crossing for junkies to walk in, grab our stuff and walk out, and we'd never notice because we didn't understand about safety. Mm. So we'd all be sitting in the house, and he would come around to test the security and try and break in while we were there. Try and climb through a kitchen window or a bathroom window.
Or
shimmy up a drain pipe.
Wow. Okay. That's overbearing, I guess. Yeah. How'd you go with the biggest trouble I had was comics. My mum was just constantly throwing the comics out.
Sorry.
One day she burnt a whole chest of drawers full of comics.
Why?
2000 AD, issue one. It's about $1 million now.
Why? Why did she do that?
It was never explained, but apparently I would thank her later. I'm 43! I'm still not grateful! What were you talking about?
Give it time.
I will retaliate one day. I will burn all those Barbara Cartlands, Mum.
That'll
I'll track down every last one.
That will teach her.
My mum has every Mills and Boone ever written. Like laminated.
It's pretty much the same story over and over again. The guy with biceps gets girl when he, with a horse.
That's what she's into.
Whatever.
That's what she's into. Richard, how overbearing?
Well, the thing is, with overbearing parents, especially my mum, she has no idea what she's doing. She has no idea that she's being overbearing.
Yeah.
At my 21st birthday party, what my mum thought would be a good idea is to go through some of my old school books and just dish them out as reading material during the party. Like old school books from high school, but included amongst that was a journal with some very, very personal writings.
Oh, I've got that here.
It's going to wind up on the net. So my English book, my maths book, just, you know, stuff to look at. Wasn't he cute?
Mm.
And then also stories of nocturnal emissions and what have you.
Oh.
You know, just the nocturnal emissions diary. Just very personal gear from high school.
Yeah.
Also, my mum had a history of, whenever I had friends over, had a history of coming out just wearing a bra.
Wow.
With the unzipped back and just asking them to zip her up. Just as a bit of a gag. Just to freak them out a little bit.
You do realise it's the second hour of the show that's cut out in Adelaide, really?
Yeah. Mum knows about all this.
Yeah,
right. It's fine.
She's quite used to being
exposed
on this program.
I feel dirty, so it must be time for callers.
Yes, listeners, get it out of your system. How overbearing do your parents get? 133353. No doubt, here at this on Triple M, where today we're simply asking, have you got some overbearing parents? Who has, Ed Cavalier?
Hello, Leon.
How you guys going?
Yeah, very good. What used to happen?
My mum, we used to have a cleaner come once a fortnight, and the night before the cleaner would come, she would have this mad rush of cleaning the house and making us clean the house as well before the cleaner came.
Oh. We've got to clean the house up for the cleaner.
But who's she trying to impress?
The cleaner.
Exactly.
What's the cleaner going to think?
Exactly. I know, she probably has the worst thoughts of us, but...
The house was never cleaner than when the cleaner was coming round.
It was the Wednesday night, like all of us, just my dad, my sister and I would just sort of try and plan something else to go out so she could clean by herself.
Touché. Doily's under everything.
Thank you, Leon.
Get your carpet slippers on. You don't want to miss this joint up. Cleaner's coming.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good, thanks, Ed. Tony, Rich, how are you?
There you go.
Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Bathurst.
Oh, what's going on there?
Nothing much. It's rather cold at the moment.
Well, that'll serve you right.
Really?
Right. We know nothing about Bathurst. Is there car racing there?
That's right. The Bathurst 1000.
University as well. Is that right, Chris?
Yes, just at university.
There we are. I'm sure there's a... milk bar there, Chris, is it?
Not that I know of.
Okey-dokey. It must have closed down. So, Chris, what happened to you?
When I was younger, Mum actually banned me from watching Murder, She Wrote. It was too graphic, too violent.
Too violent?
Yes.
Didn't all the murders take place off screen?
Yes, it did, yes. But, you know, the thing behind it is it leads to the harder stuff, like... Birds of a feather, are you being served? Short bus.
No. Matlock.
It's a short jump. It's a very short jump. Well, Chris, she saved you. So did you watch it in a clandestine manner? Did you go to friends' houses?
Well, no, it's usually, you know, locking yourself in the bedroom, Mum banging on the door. What are you doing in there? And I'm just watching Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, masturbating, Mum, I swear I am.
It's not Jessica Fletcher, don't worry. But, of course, all of the murders, no matter how hideous, were quickly accompanied by... Make murders sound like fun. All right, that's pretty extreme. Who's banning something next?
Hello, Lane.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. And what happened to you?
Okay, you've got a picture. I was in high school in the mid-70s.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to get yourself into the groove of that time.
Okay. Yes.
Had the really classic gorgeous guy over for the first time. Major drama. Very updated house. Mum was an absolute anti-privacy Nazi. We had the intercom throughout the house. She used to go to the kitchen, put the intercom system on so she could listen into the bedroom conversation.
Is that right? You're being monitored?
It gets worse. So she would also come around every sort of 10 minutes and knock on the door and ask if we would like to get this a cup of tea. Who drank tea as a teenager? So what I used to do was put my stereo speaker one on top of the other, because they were almost as big as most computers of that day, like a house, right? and just blast the stereo into the intercom.
Oh, stereo.
Yes, no, worse. Better than that, I used to play Elton John's track, The Bitch Is Back.
Oh, that's
she was unreal.
So this is the Watergate era, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Did she have tape? Was she playing tape? Mate, go to tape 74.
No, she wasn't that technologically advanced. No, we'd only just got our first colour TV, you see, in 1975.
What a day.
She was unreal.
Well, thank you, Lane. And Lainey, do you have kids of your own?
Yes, I do.
And what's your behaviour like?
Not too bad, actually. My son's only 9.
Oh, right. You can be a couple of years before you start bugging him.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. No, he's got to learn the hard way like I did.
Good on you, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can come in, Mum. Are you wearing a wire? All right, that's pretty extreme. Thanks, Lane. Hi, Nick.
G'day, boys. How's it going?
Good, mate. What happened?
When I was living at home, I had the Foxtel in my bedroom, and I used to tape stuff, like some sporting events that used to be on at around 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'd leave for work, and I'd come home all geared up to watch it, and the tapes would be cutting out after about an hour, and I'm thinking, there's something wrong with this video player. I'm not programming it right.
Yeah.
What's going on? And it turns out that Mum would come in and clean my room, see, oh, the silly duffer's left the video player on. I'll just turn it off.
And so what did you end up getting the first half of?
I'll probably incriminate myself in NASCAR sports.
Oh, I was going to say that jelly wrestling on the VH1. Wow, okay. I'm just amazing. My mum wouldn't, I think we gave her a video recorder and...
She
toasted
it?
Yeah, I think it was doing Raisin Toast for the first year and a half. Didn't even know, mate. So you even know how to switch it off.
As was I. Don't you worry about
that. There you go. Well, thank you, Nick. I can't endorse that sort of behaviour. If somebody did that at my place, there wouldn't be a show every day.
Absolutely right.
We'd be both drunk in New Zealand.
And then where would we be?
Who's this?
Hi, James.
Hello, yes.
What used to happen?
When I was a kid, I actually, my very first album that I went out to buy from the record shop was The Angels, called the band The Angels, and it was the album The Howling. Now, the cover had a werewolf sort of type picture on the cover, and my parents were devout Christians, and my dad saw that cover, and he said, you can't have it, you got to take it back because it's demonic. And it was pretty far-fetched sort of even back then, and... as a cruel insult, he ended up turning around, because the record shop wouldn't give you money back.
Yeah.
They would only do exchanges. So, as a bit of a cruel joke, my dad ended up getting John Farnham's Whistling Jack for me. So, I ended up passing that record on as a birthday present to one of my friends that I didn't really like too much.
Oh, brilliant. What he did is just a whole lot of blank, empty Whistling Jack covers for all of your Metallica albums. That's the way to go.
That would have been a better way to go, wouldn't it?
And album covers can be dangerous. That's Sticky Fingers.
That
is. Oh, yeah. If you've caught with the fly down, the cover of Sticky Fingers, a lot of trouble.
Big trouble.
Great call. Do we have time for any more, Ian?
We should get to Santo.
All right. Santo Chilaro is waiting.
Sorry to those
please
idiots.
Take down their details this earlier. We'll call them back.
Right. As of tomorrow, we're having prizes again.
Prize King is back in the building tomorrow.
Back on the throne.
Next up, Santo Garo.
It's been quite the truth.
This is Dizzy Stuff, folks.
Rugged good looks, and the man who brought in that recording of Red Tug is here. Yes, that is your name. 4x4, but hey, we have got so much mileage out of that Rex Hunt address to the nation.
I feel so guilty. I feel a little bit. I feel like I've bumped someone in.
He's reached a whole new audience.
That's right. Now I feel better.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, it is Dizzy Stuff. A man, give him a business card. It's from the Netherlands. This is stuff that people need to hear sometimes.
I still remember the time that one of the other guys on the fishing show said something like. They said, what's good fishing at the moment? And they said, nothing much happening. There's just a little bit of redfin. No disrespect for the species.
That's right. I think Rob Sidgwick in here berating you for laughing at that.
That's
not funny at all.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of requests to upload that onto our website or send those. Send copies out. We don't own the copyright. We can play little bits of it.
Yeah.
But we would obtain it. I guess you'd have to go to whatever.
AM radio station is on.
Or you can tap and go to Amsterdam.
Yes! I'm Amsterdam!
But we've got a lot to get through this now. Thank God you're here is on tonight. We're going to be getting people to call in about not so great live shows that you may have seen.
Yeah. Been a part of in my case.
You know what we're going to be doing in this hour? We're going to be putting in top effort.
Not sitting on your butt knocking others while rolling a fat cigarette and waiting for the next handout. And in the words of Theodore Roosevelt, the famous American president, yibbity yibbida, here we go.
For that matter. Here again, this is the second hour on Triple M, and he's here. Thank God you're here. It's going out tonight, 7:30 on Channel 10. Please welcome Santo Chilaro.
Overbearing dad.
Well, yes, that last hour we were talking overbearing parents, but and they, I forgot you were coming in. And
Italians, can they not have, is there anything that doesn't have an overbearing parent?
Hang on, piano accordion.
Yes.
And it was, imagine playing the piano accordion as a six-year-old. It's always really cool. I still remember distinctly today that when they broke into our house and basically ransacked it, they took the piano accordion and I cheered.
And who was your hero? Who was that guy? Was it Johnny LaPiccolo?
Yeah, who then became Johnson Peters.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, he
canonized himself. But I remember a kid, Franco Antipatico. He was in grade two, I remember, with me. And his mother used to come every day and give him a bowl of spaghetti through the fence. And he had to sit there and just wait. Now, imagine that. Your mum coming with a bowl of spaghetti every day.
Now, your parents, do you remember the Truth newspaper?
Yeah, of course I do.
It's a great newspaper. It's a fantastic coffee table book of the best of Truth that you can still get.
What was it? Right.
I don't want to say it was a made-up newspaper, but some of the stories were bordering on his comics.
Ah, okay.
And it was
sensational.
Apparently, an institution for a few years. And your dad would often appear in the sports section with the nickname Mr. Stocker.
Yeah. And when he did something controversial, because he was involved in soccer in Australia and especially in Victoria. And often, if he did something controversial, it would be, "You're offside, Mr. Stocker."
Yeah. Offside. And there was a great tradition when we used to do shows years ago, our sketch comedy programs, that on the first night of the first episode going to air, we'd pop round to Chateau Chilaro, and the parents would turn on a seven-course banquet.
Yeah.
And what kind of... Do you still get notes about your work?
Well, usually the notes involved, your hair was combed nice. I liked what you were wearing, didn't like what you were wearing. So there's a bit of overbearingness there. I used to have an overbearing grandparent who you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Who passed on a couple of years ago at the age of 98.
Actually, you can see some of his great work on the Best of the D Generation DVD. If you go to the extras, a thing called The Bottom Drawer, he's the bloke in the street who refuses to believe that he's just seen the Virgin Mary.
That's right.
And keeps going, no! It's a beautiful piece of acting from a 94-year-old man.
He's also the Superman.
He was Superman in the late show.
But he was so overbearing that he and I had an argument live on national television. do you remember this sketch called The Rejuvenator?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Where there was a box and people went in young and came out old on the other side. And he played the old version.
So what happened is I walked into The Rejuvenator and a kid came out the other end. And Judith Lucy said, "Oh, my God, we've gone too far. Get the kid back through and get him older again." And then my grandfather walks out the other side.
And this is going to be a lie. It's not pre-recorded.
So what's happening is...
for about 3 seconds, my grandfather and I were in the rejuvenator together. As I walked in, the kid goes out, I'm in with my grandfather, he's waiting to go back out. As we're in there, my grandfather goes, why haven't you brought me a VCR? I don't know. He goes, yeah, Mr. Big Shot, Mr. Lots of Money, can't afford to buy me a VCR. And I've put our hands over the top of our lapel mic so no one can hear this argument live. He goes, yeah, Mr. Smarty. And then the kid comes back and I've pushed him out. I bet you got the kid a VCR.
Wow, overbearing grandparents.
My mum still works with my dad in a tiny office. In fact, we shot all the Dennis DeNudo stuff in the castle.
Yeah, right.
It was based on my dad. My dad still has no idea that it's based on him. He keeps on saying, you know what happened to the guy in that film? It also happened to me. Anyway, so my mum works there, and she has created a shrine for me. There's pictures of me everywhere. And she keeps telling clients that walk in, that's my son, right? And the other day, I get a call. My mum was at home because the alarm man was supposed to fix up her alarm. Yeah. She calls me up. She says, the alarm guy needs to, if there's a very important question that I can't answer to him, can you take the call? And I said, yeah, sure, what's the problem? The guy goes, when's all Aussie Adventures coming back?
Important to know.
She's terrible.
Hey, you know, it's great to hear you back here on Triple M. Like I say, you were the Hoon advisor. Triple M is football these days.
Yes.
People think that's a new thing. You know, just 5 or 6 years now. Yeah. What about the work of Graham and the Curlers? Yeah. They did so much work for footy way back in the 1980s. We're going to recall some of that next here against this.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
This is Triple M around the nation. Yeah, this is the program. Santo Chilaro is sitting in, and we're sorry to go so nostalgic today, but we were just talking about the upcoming Barjas Olden Days DVD.
Yeah, which I've just seen. It's really funny. The Olden Days cracks me up.
Most of it still makes sense.
See, people talk about Barjas all the time, but, you know, nothing wrong with Barjas, it's good, but Olden Days is just hysterical.
Well, this is a lot more of it. Far from anything. And you've got the DVD, but you're telling me you haven't found any of the Easter eggs.
I'm so ashamed. I thought Easter eggs are those things that you find in the special bits.
They're the special features.
Yeah.
They're easily found. Easter eggs are hidden. This is when you go around the menu and you shouldn't be allowed to click up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do click up, logo appears. Click on that. What do you see? You as the Leyland brothers.
Yeah.
Or there's a great Easter egg of... you and Mick Malloy hosting the Commercial Crime Stoppers segment, showing one of the Ken Bruce Has Gone Mad commercials.
One of those classic commercials, yeah.
And there was one which was actually taken off air by the Broadcasting Tribunal because when you slowed down the final shot, two dogs rooting out the front of the shop. Great footage, all hidden, all part of the...
I know the guy that made those ads, and I reckon he put those dogs in there on purpose. I reckon there was special casting going on there, what they were like.
Well, you know, surely when you're editing it, somebody would have noticed in the foreground.
Were those dogs actually copulating on the move?
They're
on the move.
It's graphic footage. That DVD comes out, I think, mid-August. Thank God you're here. Goes out tonight.
And
who's on?
Oh, let me think.
The nerdy guy with the glasses again.
Tony's on tonight. It's a great performance. And we really threw a tough one at him.
Sports.
We went, let's just throw him into something that he has no idea about. So have a look at that tonight. Julia Morris comes back to Australia after 8 years being overseas.
Yes.
So she was from Full Frontal? Do you know the comic Eddie Ift?
Yeah, he's an American comedian. He's been touring out here.
Yeah. He was playing the Opera House in Sydney for a while.
Really?
I think so, yeah. Were you very facetious?
No.
He told me that.
I
shot a DVD.
When we were shooting the OB bits for the show, he just kept saying to me, what time does this go out? 7:30. Here goes most of my act.
Because I hear it goes a bit blue.
It's really blue. You had to keep yourself clean for the show. And Sean McCullough.
Strap yourself in for Sean McCullough. Sean is, we all know that Sean is surreal at the best of times. But when you mix surreal with mischief, it's a dangerous cocktail. It's like he just decided, you know what? All bits are off.
Well, I don't know if this will be on the show, but on the night, he physically assaulted Shane Bourne. I hope that's been left
in. It's on the show.
Speaking
of Thank God You're Here, do you think I'm starting to call this the Thank God You're Here government? Do you reckon, I mean, is John Howe bullshitting his way through his five day now?
Every day he steps through a blue door.
I'm thinking they should put a blue door in the Prime Minister's office.
No, he's getting good at it. What was he saying last night? What did you see, Rich?
Well, he tripped over last night. Last night he was also working at some community centre, working the room.
Well, he was doing
taking questions like Donoghue.
It was hilarious. Jerry Springer style, roaming Mike in the audience.
Yeah,
box pops.
He was doing a bit of, is this your watch, madam?
Hey, he had it one for it.
But he's even gone the way in which you bullshit this. You know the old, you make a mistake and go, and you cough a bit, and then you go back and repeat it. I heard him say, when the Hanif guy was arrested, the people from London came in to question him, and they obviously told him, don't use the word interrogation.
Right.
I was on Sunrise, and he said, yes, and they've come into the country to conduct interrogations. they've come to the country to conduct inquiries.
And you go, mate, you've even got that down pat.
Unbelievable.
No, look, hey,
we're on tonight, 7:30.
7:30, you know, that's a great, if you go there, how, is it possible to get tickets to the live night? But thank God you're here.
I've heard that there's thousands of people on the waiting list. There was 6,000 people on the waiting list, and that was before this season started. So, there's not a lot of people.
See, that's a great live night. You know, that's a night out.
Yeah.
But what about the other end?
Oh.
Want to go down there?
Yeah.
Let's do that next.
Anyone who can identify these offenders, contact Crime Stoppers.
In this Around the Nation on Triple M. Thank God You're Here goes out tonight on Channel 10 at 7:30. Santo Chilauro is with us. We've been talking about good live shows. What about some not-so-good ones? Why are we talking about this, Ed? What have you seen?
No, it's more what I was in.
Oh, really? Dobbing yourself in?
Yeah, I was having a look through some old papers of mine. So I was throwing some things out.
Mm-hmm.
I came across a, I guess you'd call it a program, an A4 sheet of paper. Some stuff photocopied on it.
Yeah.
Featuring me dressed as one of the characters from The Matrix on the front.
What was that?
It's called The Tree of Life. It was a 4-hour play about the birth of Jesus Christ. And it was in a, in winter, and it was in a courtyard. And so it was absolutely freezing. And the play started at 3 hours. And over the 2-week run of the student theatre, of course, the director added new lines every single day. He'd come on and go, guys, I don't think it's clear that Mary Magdalene is the son of God as well. Oh, no, she's the daughter of God. No, I'll just have to write another scene, 6 scenes to explain that. So people were literally off stage trying to learn their lines, and then they go on and say them, and then go back off and try and learn their lines for the next scene.
And where did the Matrix come into it? What was the Matrix?
The Matrix was popular at the time. And we thought if we dress like people from The Matrix, people will come to the play.
How long was the run?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Well, 2 weeks. Every night, 2 weeks.
How many people came?
Do you mean each night or cumulatively?
No, each night, more or less. I mean, were you looking at...
Well, there was 11 in the cast, which was great, because student theatre is about trying to get action, as we know. And, you know, some of them pretty hot.
Yeah.
But
you did outnumber your audience, though, didn't you?
Only 4 times. We only have 4 times.
All right, this is what we're looking for. Things maybe you've been in, or things you've seen. It doesn't have to just be theatre. It can be concerts, or school plays, or, you know, rock shows, the Countdown Spectacular, anything you want. Santo, anything?
I reckon the worst one I ever saw was we were doing a live show. This is when we had, just before we started on television, we were doing a stage show called Let's Talk Backwards.
Yes.
It was a Melbourne University review, and then it turned into The Degeneration. And we were travelling around the country, and we ended up at a comedy place at the old Melbourne Hotel in Perth, in Hay Street, Perth.
Right.
And there was absolutely no money in it. The only way you could eat was that the pub gave you food at lunchtime.
Right.
But you had to get your food at the lingerie show. They had a lingerie show every lunchtime. So
it's all underpants for everybody.
So we're sitting there with a bunch of old guys and bikies and stuff like that. You know, these fresh-faced people, you know, just watching a lingerie show. And what would happen is the girls would just do their lingerie stuff. And then the MC, to provide a bit of lighthearted humour, it had a stand-up. And what he would do is he would stand there with a cassette player with a Kevin Bloody Wilson cassette in it and hold a microphone to it. And he'd stand there. And what would happen is that if someone didn't laugh, if someone in the audience didn't laugh, he'd look down and goes, he'd stop the tape and go, hey, what's the matter with you? Are you some kind of homosexual poster?
Really, you know, people in the audience have tape recorders with heckles on them. This is terrible. I go, right, did you not hear that? I'll wind back.
Don't hear it again.
I'll do it again. That
is hilarious.
Wow. Live comedy. Okay, I once saw an amateur production, I'm not joking, of Starlight Express. Which is an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical on roller skate.
Yeah.
And we thought, this would be hilarious. This is in Auckland, New Zealand, with Dinner Theatre. So we've got along. And all they did was just all the songs, but with no skating. So it's just like singing, sort of recital style.
The whole point of it just went,
went out the window.
But they dressed up?
But yeah, in the costumes, with the knee pads and everything. And then for the final number, went off stage and came out with about five of them just on skate, and no one could skate. So it was people clinging to the side of the stage and then just sang the final number wearing roller skates.
Oh, that's not a good
Starline spread.
Big finish.
It was a three-course meal, though. The best theatre comes with a meal, as we know. Mr. Marsland.
My grandmother used to be in a dance troupe called the Time Step Tappers.
Wow!
They tap and, you know, because they're young spirited. They're all sort of senior citizens who tap dance and they also sing songs. Went to the end of year performance, lots of tap dancing and singing and what have you. And but song choices are very important when you're in your 80s or 70s. And I don't want to trivialise the sexuality of older people. But an 81-year-old person singing Making Whoopee isn't really a great way to spend an evening. And it was just kind of repulsive, if you know what I'm saying.
Did they then bust into I Want Your Sex by George Martin?
Well, they should have done it. Might as well have been that.
Closer to God.
Making Whoopee, why would you choose that song?
It's a good old-fashioned song, though.
It's kind of sexy. It's associated from Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah.
It was the Newlywed Game with Ian Turpey, where he would use the word whoopee all the time. When was the last time you and your wife made whoopee?
Yeah.
I thought, wouldn't it be great if that carried over to the news? A man was accused of making violent whoopee. The three, sorry.
Let's go make love on the whoopee cushion.
There you go. Oh, it's a pity we're not doing Prelude to a Fart.
Okay.
We moved on to Punch-Up. We want to hear about the pissiest live show you've ever seen or participated in. 133353. San Jose Chilaro is with us. We're looking for bad live shows. Who's been on air?
Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good, mate. What have you seen?
Oh, look, years ago, we went up to this colonial-type world in Swan Hill in northern Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And they've got this really piss-weak light and sound show where, I don't know if it's improved, but at the time there was like three blokes and a torch, and you were sort of dragged around from the old buildings on a tractor-driven trailer. The tractor was so loud, you couldn't hear what the commentary was all about. So we were, like, making up our own commentary. And they're showing torches on, you know, the inanimate objects that are pretending to move and all this stuff. It was just atrociously bad.
It was like, that's
whenever you have this kind of relationship, you go up yourself a bit. So, for gold. I think you tend to just interested in panning for gold for more jewelry.
Well, of course, we went to Glen Rowan years ago for a startling reenactment of and nothing says Ned Kelly like laser beams and Neil Diamond music. All right, that's a beauty. Thanks, Paul. Who's going next?
Hi, Clinton.
Oh, g'day, Ed. How are you?
Excellent, mate. What did you see?
In the mid-90s, I went to see the Lemonheads at the Corner Hotel with a mate of mine.
Yep.
And just as they pretty much came on, there was a couple of flannel wearers down the front that started to get stuck in on to play Mrs. Robinson. And after about three songs and him having Dando telling him, look, can you just settle down, he acted like a big panty waste and just walked off.
Okay, Mrs. See, it was their fault for recording it in the first place. I mean, you know, 12 minutes, I think that's the exact running time of the current Britney Spears roadshow. People paying $250 to see.
Yeah, mine for 12 minutes.
All right, well, 12 minutes of the Lemonheads. Can we go worse than that?
Hi, Tim.
How you going, mate?
Good, mate. What have you seen or been in?
Mate, I was in it. My first acting experience, I played Santa in the local pantomime.
And how did you go?
Oh, mate, pretty shocking. I wore some really old tatty Etney skate shoes. I don't think Santa really wears Etney skate shoes. And I threw some lollies from the stage into the crowd and cut some kid's eye open with a lolly.
Yeah, what was the storyline?
Christmas Santa mine. I can't remember the storyline. It was pretty boring, if you ask me.
Okay. All right. All right. Cutting open a kitty face with a bit of lolly.
Mm.
That's always a great. That's a great addition to any stage show.
Didn't you get once hit by a coin at a TISM concert?
I did. I have a piece of tooth missing for this very day from a TISM concert, which happened. And this happened 1 week after the introduction of the new $2 coin. And I remember writing an angry letter to the paper. This wouldn't have happened with the old currency.
<That's very> right.
All right. Who's next?
Hi, Kate.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What have you seen?
Well, it wasn't actually me. It was one of my friends. Mm-hmm. He saw Howard Jones in about 1985, and he was lowered into a synthesizer's back.
Oh.
I
saw that show in Brisbane. I was working for Triple M at the time.
Yeah, come on.
I was giving stuff away, and it was the full pirate gig, wasn't it?
Well, I'm not sure. He's, you know, she didn't tell me much about it.
No, she's still in the institution.
Any idea who the support act was?
No, I don't know. I've been trying to tell you about it for some time.
I'm just wondering if it was Rod.
They wouldn't
have supported him.
They were too edgy for Howard.
See that way,
Howard Jones, synthesizer stacks.
Low on knee.
Mm. Wow, still touring, Howard Jones. Mm. Parents selling the merch on the door during the English shows.
That's lovely.
It's a good look. Who's next?
Hi, Shane.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good, thank you. What have you seen?
I briefly heard you talk a little while ago about Ian Thurphy. Well, years ago, I was dragged along to one of his great shows, Supermarket Sweep. That's exactly right. It was horrendous. It was a half-hour show on TV, but the taping took 4.5 hours. There was one particular lady. She rolled a rankle. They had to stop taping to bring the stretcher out. Another young guy, he split the big box of dog biscuits all over the floor. It was just the most horrendous 4.5 hours of my life. I can never get back.
See, that's the stuff, you know, Supermarket Sweep accidents. That should be what they put to air.
I reckon there's a TV exec listening to this right now going, oh, geez, we can bring that back.
Bring back Sweep. Nerds is still available. Get him off the sippy spray ads and back into the supermarket.
Very
for who's that? Oh, we've got time for one more, I'm afraid.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi.
What did you see?
Jekyll and Hyde the musical when I was in New York a few years ago. The lead role was played by a guy called Sebastian Bach.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, hang on. Isn't he from Kid Rock?
I believe so. I hadn't heard of him before, but a lot of the audience were screaming and carrying on. But when he left the role, I believe David Hasselhoff took over.
Yeah,
so I was a bit annoyed I missed him.
That's always the mark of death, isn't it?
Yeah, you would have wanted to see David Hasselhoff.
You're only one step away from Tony Danza. You're really in trouble.
All right, that's a pretty impressive list. Thanks to everyone who called in. But we still haven't got some of your old work on the football team here at Triple M. Let's do that next on Get This. On Triple M, and I certainly remember that back in the 1980s, Santo Chilaro, our guest today, was part of the football team here at Triple M. Now, people think of football on Triple M. It's kind of a recent phenomenon.
Mm. We started it.
Yeah, that's right.
Started.
I mean, it's a great sound, I think, on FM. I mean, I don't really listen to the football.
It's a great call. I listen to it over on the weekend. JB and the rest of those lads doing a great job.
Fantastic. Why would you go back to the AM when you've heard a bit of FM football? But, of course, you know, people say, oh, but Triple M doesn't have the football heritage. But what about Graham and the Colonel?
We predate, who did we? We predate everybody.
Everybody. What was the person? 1986 was when Graham and the Colonel began. And now explain to me who Uncle Doug Elliott was.
Well, Uncle Doug Elliott was a fantastic man. A lot of people in Victoria and Melbourne might remember him as a Member of Parliament. And he was also the voice on World of Sport. He was the... Uncle Doug was the MC. He used to throw to everything. He used to do live ads. He had a wonderful voice. If you love Could Have Been Champions, there's Billy Baxter still does Uncle Doug every now and again, quite often, and does it very well. But he was an iconic voice as we were growing.
Yeah, he died in 1989, mm-hmm. and this is an oddity which I found on an old tape. This is you doing a tribute to Uncle Doug 18 years ago on Triple M.
Free Triple M proudly presents the life and times of the late, great Uncle Doug Elliott.
Douglas Elliott was born at the age of 58 in a small voiceover booth somewhere near the HSV7 roller cycling machine. He began dreaming about his World of Sport career for the first time when he entered his primary school spelling bee.
Master Elliot, spell hippopotamus.
H-I-P-P-O-P-O-T-A-M-U-S.
But his vocation became even more evident when his school friends heard his uncanny impersonations of his pet dog, Trusty.
Trusty! Woof, 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 woof.
However, it wasn't until Doug began seeing girls that his big break seemed imminent.
Geez, Dougie, nice slacks. Where'd you get them from?
From our good friends at Solway, where the big men buy.
From here on in, Uncle Doug's reputation grew and grew until no Sunday afternoon was the same without his familiar voice.
The hams from Bataki. TNT for freight that won't wait. And thank you to Valentine's.
But sadly, dear Uncle Doug left us earlier this year for that big woodchop competition in the sky. And as he was gently laid to rest at the Solway graveyard where the big men die, his epitaph read simply, "Here lies dear Unca, R-I-P-A-T-R-A.
Where the big men
go. I had to leave home and head to the football team here in the M.
Check that out tonight.
Cody's on, everybody. Watch me.
And Eddie and everybody.